I'm going to ask you to kindly stand for the reading of God's holy word. And if you have your scriptures or your concealed carry, I'm going to ask you to pull it out so we can read together. I'll be reading from 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. And this is what it says. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away the sins, our sins. Amen. Please be seated. Now, I'm going to try to explain this passage in about 10 or 15 minutes that will not be able to be explained even in a lifetime. This passage cannot be explained if I had all the infinite amount of time, all the infinite amount of words. It's a love of Christ that it is unexpressible. We cannot understand it. We cannot comprehend it. We did not love Christ. Christ loved us. And the title of my message for tonight, if you do want to give it a title for 10 or 15 minutes, is this: The Perplexity of the Simple Gospel. And you might think, well, how does that make sense? These two clash, these words clash together. You have a word that contradicts the other word. It's simple yet perplex. It's understandable and relatable, yet it doesn't make sense. Yet we cannot comprehend. And that is the gospel that we have. It is a gospel that we cannot understand, but at the same time we can receive so easily, because it's a free gift, freely given. And this is the gospel. The gospel is that Christ loved us even when we didn't love him. It's that he sent his Son to die for us even when we had no recognition of what we were doing as wrong. We saw ourselves as right, yet Christ said, I'm going to send my Son to die for you. And if you look at Romans chapter 6, it actually says this. It says that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So for our sins, there had to be a payment for those sins. It's not just something that's given. It's not something that we call it a free gift, but it costs someone something for it to be a free gift. It costs God everything. He bankrupted heaven for us for that free gift. And if we're asking, what did it cost? If we look at Hebrews chapter 9, it actually tells us what it cost. And it was the blood of Christ. If we look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, it says that without the spilling of blood, without blood being spilt, there's no forgiveness of sin. Without Christ sacrificing what he did for us on the cross, none of us would be sitting in this room tonight. Yes, it was a free gift, but it cost him something, and it cost him everything. And further on in chapter 10, verse 10, the author of Hebrews continues, and he says this: For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all time. Christ didn't have to die over and over and over again like the traditions of old. Christ did not have to die and come back and die again, come back and die again, but it was finished once for all time. We did not need to make a sacrifice year after year as in the olden times. But Christ freely gave himself because he loved us. And if we look clearly at this verse, what it actually says is this. It says that for God's will was for us to be made holy. It was actually his will. His will was for you and me to be clean. His will was for you and me to have eternal life. His will was for us to be here together and celebrate the risen Christ, the one and only King. It was his will from the beginning of time. And if we want to understand what it actually means for his will, if we look at Ephesians 1, this is what Paul's writing to the church. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. And it says, even before he made the world, God loved us and he chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. And God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. What does this mean? The author in Hebrews says that it was his will for us to be holy, yet here in Ephesians, Paul is saying that before the world was even created, Christ wanted us to be holy. Church, what this means is that before we were even born, we weren't a secondary plan for God. We weren't a side dish for God. We weren't something that was, oh man, I messed up, let me try to fix it. We were the plan from the beginning. Jesus was the plan from the beginning. The way I picture it and I think about it, from my carnal mind, which is very hard to understand, I see Jesus sitting on his throne before the world was created and saying, look, thousands of years from now, I see creation. And I see I'm going to create them and they're going to slip and they're going to fall. They will rebel against me. They won't love me. In fact, they'll kill me. But you know what? I'm going to do it anyway. Right now, I decide in advance, before they're even created, that Jesus, I'm going to go down and die for them. And it's Colossians 1 that Jesus was with Christ before all things. So Jesus was there in the decision making saying, hey, right now, before it's all created, I'm going to step down and go down and pay the price for them. And the best way for us to understand this, and maybe not myself because I'm not married, but those of you who are married and have children, some of you prepare in advance. You decide in advance, I want to have a child. You and your wife or you and your husband plan it out and say, I'm going to be doing this. The child is born and you raise the child. And regardless of what happens, regardless of the outcome of the child, do you love the child? Did you choose in advance before the child was born that you're going to sacrifice and love that child? And it's the same concept with God, and that's why we cannot comprehend, and that's why the title of this message is the perplexity of the simple gospel, because it doesn't make sense to us. The love of Christ is simple to take in. Yes, he loved me, he died for me, he was raised for me. But the perplexity of it is this. He did this before I was even created. Before I even had a chance to love him back, he decided to take me in. And that's the simple gospel right there. And if we want to see Christ's love, we just move a couple chapters over to Ephesians 3. It's in Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm going to read from verse 17. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts. And as you trust in him, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. And I want to emphasize here on verse 19, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully, but you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. Even Paul himself is saying, look, I cannot even understand this. We in ourselves, in our own minds, cannot understand this. But what I want this is, look, maybe if you can just experience the love of God. He says if you just experience the love of God, then you will be fully complete in life, needing nothing. If I just experience the love of God, even if I don't understand it completely. And that's exactly what we are here for today and what we celebrate. We have experienced the love of Christ. And if you haven't experienced the love of Christ, I challenge you to accept it today. Because it is a free gift, but that free gift costs something. It costs everything. But this is the gospel. The gospel is that we cannot understand, yet we can accept. It does not make sense, yet it's so simple. Christ died, and he loved me, and he gave himself for me. And now comes the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'll be reading from verse 14. And it says this. And if Christ had not been raised, then all our preaching is useless. And your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ had not been raised. Emphasis here on 17. And if Christ had not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of your sins. We are no longer guilty of our sins. This is where it all ties back in. Yes, the gospel is great. It's simple, but it's also perplexed because we cannot understand the resurrection of Christ. But that resurrection gives you life. It gives me life. The story of love, what Paul goes through Ephesians 1, saying that Christ chose in advance to choose us. The story of him talking Ephesians 3, saying that his love is wide and high and long and we cannot understand it. All of that is beautiful. But without a resurrection from the dead, we are still dead to our sin. But now, today, on Easter, this is why we celebrate, because we are no longer counted against our sin. He continues on, he says, in that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone else in the world. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest in all who have died. So verse 20 is true. It says that Christ has been raised from the dead. If that is true, then we can take the opposite of what it says here in verse 17. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, your faith is useless and you're still guilty of your sins. Well then, if Christ is raised, then my faith is not useless and I'm no longer held or guilty for my sins. This is a simple gospel, but it's also perplexed because we cannot understand it. It's simple for us to receive. It's a love that I did nothing for, but I can easily receive. It's perplexed because I cannot understand it. And in Romans 6, this is what I'll be closing with. In Romans 6, verse 7, it says, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know that we will also live with him. And we are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead. Christ was raised from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. He died once for all. Your sins are paid once for all. We no longer have our sins counted against us because of what happened this morning 2,000 years ago. And this is a simple gospel. You receive what Christ has done for you. You believe in his gift, his free gift of eternal life. Not that your works merit it, but because it is written that Christ was raised from the dead and on his body, 1 Peter chapter 2, on his body, in his body on the cross, he took our sins and paid that price. And to conclude, like David says in Psalm 103, my sins are as far east from the west. They can no longer be seen. Your sins can no longer be seen. If you put your faith in Christ, you are no longer counted guilty. And that's why we celebrate today. And that's why we celebrate Easter. And that's why I'm smiling, because my sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. And if you're smiling and joyful and you're singing today, that's the reason. Because no one else can say anything. Because what stands in here is true. It cannot be moved. It cannot be altered. It cannot be changed. It is the absolute truth of God. So that is the simple gospel. I leave that with you today. We did not love God. Church, you did not love God. Christ loved us, and I responded to that love. And you can do that same thing today. God bless you.